Rap.
Drugs. You are now listening to Rap Drugs Pod.
Drugs.
Rap.
Oh, yo. Hey there, how are you? Welcome to the Rap Drugs Pod. Another week of chaos and mayhem. As you know, unlike these other motherfucking pods where they rehearse all day and write scripts and think they're doing some Hollywood type shit, we're just doing it off the cuff. That's why we're took me till Wednesday, motherfuckers. Todd got fucking kidnapped. So if you want to hook up the show, you want to help out the show, you want to save Todd, because they gave me a pretty high ransom note. Send some money to paypal.me/rapdrugs. Buy some merch, teesprings.com/stores/rapdrugs. Follow us on IG. Follow us on Twitter. Who knows if we post there, but we share some good shit once in a while. But we've been busy as a motherfucker, man. Trying to get some life experience in this bitch in between lockdown. So doing the damn thing. You know how it is at the end of the month. But yeah, unfortunately, the bro got picked up, thrown in a white van, drove off to the middle of nowhere. So who the fuck knows what's going on with him? I just got a couple weird phone calls asking for money. Maybe it's him. Maybe he's really been snatched up. You never know. And frankly, who cares? But if you care, drop us a line. Drop 5 stars on Apple Pod Review. I heard if we get 10 5-star reviews on Apple Pods, they're going to let them free. Or if you know you like the video, comment down below, shoot an email, shoot a text to the show, send us some shit. Maybe we'll share it. We probably won't like most of the stuff we've got. But if it's good enough, maybe you'll make the cut, motherfuckers. But yeah, we really appreciate all y'all being back for another week of the motherfucking Rap Drugs Pod, even though we're a bit late. But yeah, coming at you on this Wednesday, March 31st, live as a motherfucker. And today I want to start off with this great story. A hilarious thing kind of happened the other day when I was on the way to work. So I was going down some side streets near my home on the way to the GO station, passed by a construction site. Oddly enough, there's a bunch of garbage littered everywhere. It's a construction site. You'd think they'd like at least throw the garbage in the garbage bin, but that's all got to go to like some scrapyard where they separate it all and get the metal and get paid back for that. I don't know. Fucking those construction company owners are cheap pricks. But yeah, bunch of garbage littered everywhere. Some guy picked up a dirty mask off the ground. Picked up the dirty mask on the ground. And yeah, somehow ended up at the station with this guy. And he put the motherfucking mask on. I was blown away, but I don't know. I was just late. I couldn't return home. Okay, it was me. But don't worry. I had some hand sanitizer, scooped that on, rubbed it on my hands, rubbed it on the mask, and I'm good to go now, right? Right? That's all we need. But yeah, it was you know, when you're short on time, hopped on the skateboard, got about four or five blocks from home, see some masks on the ground. Fuck, I forgot my mask at home. But at that time, it's too late. You know, there's just a couple masks there begging for you to put them on. Like, I'm out here trying to get COVID still. Haven't been lucky enough to let it test my symptom. Unless I have I'm asymptomatic. I haven't went and got a test. So who knows? Maybe I have had it and just haven't had any symptoms like the rest of the kids that they're sending through back to schools and what have you. But yeah, pretty crazy shit if you ask me. But I was more concerned about turning home and not having to wait another half hour for the next train. So I pick up this mask. Looks good on the outside. Nice clean black mask. Someone tied the friggin' knots to have it tighter around their face with the ear thing. So I had to figure out bite on that to. That was probably the grossest thing I did. Bite on that to like untie the hair stuff when I did get to the go station, and then took the sanitizer out of my bag. I never use it, so I had plenty there. Squirted it onto my hands, put the mask in between the hands, and let the magic happen. You know, let the kill all the other bacteria, so the COVID virus can thrive, if it even sticks to surfaces, or I don't know. You keep getting different news from everywhere. But yeah, apparently Ontario going back into lockdown. I don't know if all of you mother suckers are in somewhere where there's third waves and fourth waves and all this bogus shit, but basically where I'm at, where I moved to, had been locked down since like November. I moved here December 12th after my last condo corp hated the fact that I had two dogs instead of two cats. You're only allowed one dog with your two cats and your bird and other pets, but two dogs, that's a no-go. So being a renter instead of a unit owner, didn't have much of a leg to stand on. We wanted to get out of there anyways because a couple of crazy neighbors that were fighting over nothing. Basically, the guy upstairs was mad the guy downstairs smoked. If you watch the pod, you've already heard that shit, so I'm not going to go too deep on it. But yeah, we got the fuck out of Dodge. Found us a nice pad. Won't give you too much more details. You'll have to find out in due course. If you keep up with the show, or you know. So anyways, been in lockdown from then. The rest of the province went to lockdown December 26th. Slowly they let us out sometime mid-January. We have still been locked down since. They put us from stay at home to gray zone, which means instead of doing nothing, you're still not allowed to see anyone or you know or love, but unless they already live in your home or are single and chose you to be their bubble. But yeah, you can go gather in groups of 10 or less outdoors. So the parks have been total chaos, like super spreader events, people traveling in packs of 10, all mixing and mangling. I don't mind. I talk to strangers while I'm out doing that shit, but I try not to get too close, man. But people get too close to you, so there's no avoiding it. I'm just glad I'm young. So, but anyways, they're putting us back in a motherfucking lockdown because we were getting like 2,400 cases a day. Mind you, a lot of those were in Toronto at first, and they kind of spread more out across the province. But 22 cases out of 22 million people, I guess that's per day though, but we're at like 0.000001%. And supposedly the ICUs are all full, bursting at the seams. And like, they didn't see this coming last year. I'm just really confused. I wish they would report the ICU numbers, which one's full, which ones aren't. Maybe your community's a bit better than where I live. Or maybe I'm just dumb and don't know where to look it up. So if you do know where to look it up, drop a bomb in the live chat, or friggin' do the damn thing. Shoot us an email, text, comment, so that we can motherfucking look it up for y'all. But yeah, I'm trying to see if there's anyone on a live chat here. No pertinent messages, so that's all good. But yeah, it looks like my head's cut off, so lucky I did check that shit. For all you watching the stream, maybe that's a bit better. But anyways, I'm sick of these damn lockdowns. Just let me motherfucking live my life and die in peace. Like, I gotta move somewhere like Ohio or Texas where they're gonna just let me fucking hurt myself. And the problem is, so here's the real problem that I think is, like, Ontario, like, they, and a lot of these other provinces and places, they say, oh, it's free healthcare for all, free public healthcare. But it's not. It's not like the stories you might have heard in Europe or London, England, where people just go out, get hurt, go to the hospital, get fixed up, whether they're a tourist or not. Here, we have a provincial health insurance. So I'm sure if any of you know anything about insurance, it's one of the biggest scams on the planet. Here, pay for this other people's insurance claims in case you ever have an issue. And you're also going to pay all of our salaries. That includes the CEO. That includes some dividends to shareholders. That includes a bunch of middlemans, because you're not, like, it's Warren Buffett's not just going to sell you insurance from his reinsurance company. He's going to sell that to another one of his companies, who's going to sell that to another one of his companies, who's going to work through a broker if they need an extra risk layer, or maybe sell direct to you through Geico if you're a good enough risk. You're not going to have any claims, so to speak, or their best guess is you're not going to have any claims. So they do all that stuff, and then motherfuckers get their ships stuck in the Suez Canal. And now the whole system starts to collapse. I don't see it yet, but we'll see what comes down the pipe from that. But yeah, once some cargo starts getting delayed, it depends if it's time sensitive, there could be some insurance on that. If it's spoiled, there could be some insurance on that. If it's stolen or dropped at sea, who knows? There could be some insurance on that. Probably had to use some insurance to get the motherfucking boat out of the Suez Canal, but there you go. A bunch of money from the reinsurance companies went to this dumb business activity shit that's people fucking up. And now the good people that have had their homes for 20, 40 years, the boomers, they've got to pay extra insurance premiums to make up the difference, because these companies went out of business, or they just disappeared, started a new company once the claim happened, what have you. So yeah, they're not getting held responsible. No one cares that much. I mean, people want to keep getting their commission, the salespeople, but beyond that, no one can give two fucks. They would rather just let the industry handle it, deal it, suck a big one, and make you deal with it that way. So yeah. Sorry, just was doing some technical checks. So yeah, that's basically insurance 101, and the government's deciding that they can do this better than a privatized system. So you have deductibles, not everything's covered. Some stuff has no deductibles, it's fully covered. There's a massive wait times. 6 hours if you go to emergency and you're not dying. Sometimes if you are dying, if you're not dying worse than someone else, you still gotta wait. People wait months and months for cancer treatments and MRIs and different shit like that in certain places. So it's kind of like it's a gift and a curse. I really appreciate it for what it is. Do I think a two-tier system is better? Well, no, because there's issues with that in the school systems. But I don't know. It's impossible to stop these legacies. It's like deciding you're Bernie Sanders and you're going to just say, like, oh yeah, these pharma lobbyists spent $7 billion on lobbying last year. Over the last 23 years, story, they spent $7.6 billion on lobbyists. That's nothing. That's like literally nothing. Over 23 years? Since 1990, they contributed more than $700 million to candidates. Now the industry charges us the highest prices in the world for prescriptions. Congress must summon the courage to take them on now. And yeah, I'd agree with that. Like, they're not paying you enough to fucking not take them on. Like, are you unless they're like also giving you free fucking shit on the side, or like, there's probably a lot not on paper, let's be honest. But 7.6 billion in 23 years, that's like, I don't know. Definitely, that's like 300 million a year. There's like tons of politicians, so who knows how many lobbyists they have, who knows what the lobbyists are spending their money on, what kind of budgets they got. So there's a lot of things at play there that kind of make it seem astronomical, but it's nothing compared to what these big tech motherfuckers are spending. Like, big tech has spent more on lobbying than tobacco and oil, and that might even be combined. Let me just pull up that video if I've got it here. But while I am pulling it up, fucking amazing that NYC legalized cannabis. I'm through the moon, and we got more on that for you later in the show. Fuck, I hate this stupid fucking text free app. But yeah. I think I found it. I think I found the goods.
I want to bring on our next guest here, Scott Galloway. He's New York University Stern marketing professor and author of Post Corona From Crisis to Opportunity. And he joins us now. Professor Galloway, I love chatting with you to get your take on what we're expected to hear every time these CEOs go up in front of Congress, which seems more and more frequent these days. Just first off, your expectations for what we're going to see here and what you would be asking now at this stage, since it seems like we've dug into Section 230 quite a bit.
Good to be with you, Zach. Yeah, we'll see, I think, a continued masterclass in delay and obfuscation. They'll be very well prepared. Sundar is very likable. Jack Dorsey speaks in slow, hushed tones, which gives you the impression he's being thoughtful about these issues. And Mark Zuckerberg will repeat the question very slowly, highlight how important the question is, and either give a non-answer, or if he's pressed again, say this is important, repeat the question, and agree to get back to them in 3, 2, 1, next question. This is really kabuki theater. I don't expect much to come of this. They've now been hauled in front of Congress so many times, it's just hard to get anyone to tune in. When you hear Energy and Commerce Committee, it doesn't feel like must-see TV. So I'm not expecting a lot, to be blunt.
Scott, ahead of the hearing, we've seen Mark Zuckerberg in prepared testimony try to differentiate himself from the other platforms, calling for changes to Section 230. He said specifically that platforms should be required to demonstrate that they have systems in place for identifying unlawful content and removing it. What's your response to that? And what would you ask him?
Blocking the competition.
So I think it's a lie. I think that this notion we would like to be regulated and we believe that there needs to be regulation, and at the same time they've increased their expense budget or their investment around lobbying at a greater clip than their than any other area. So it's a bit disingenuous to say, it's a great deflection. It's we want to be regulated, please regulate us, and then during the day have your hundreds of lobbyists fight any regulation that would do anything but just entrench you. So what would you like to see us? I would love to know, and I'm parroting Zephyr Teachout, I would love to know, have Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook tracks everything, they're a very data-driven company, they know how much every piece of content, every brand, how much money they make from every source. I'd like to know how much money Facebook has made from QAnon, and that is from promoting conspiracy theories, creating algorithms of amplification that how much money have they made by spreading anti-vax content? So I think some pointed questions around how much money they've made off of misinformation. And also, big tech is now a bigger spender on lobbying than any sector in history. numbers two and three are now tobacco and big oil. And given climate change, given the massive unnecessary death that Big Tobacco brought upon us, is it safe to say that they're now number one in lobbyists means that they are also levying tremendous damage across our nation and its citizenry? So I think there should be some.
So, yeah, guys, pretty harsh on Facebook. Not as harsh as he should be probably on Twitter because he's a shareholder. But definitely crazy to hear that big tech is the biggest spender on lobbying in history, followed by tobacco and big oil. So pharma doesn't even fall in the top three. I wonder where it does fall. Who knows? There's probably like some ammunition manufacturers and some other shit like that that are higher up on the list. If I don't know. That's just my thoughts though. But what do you motherfuckers think? Let us know. Same time, I think there is a lot of bullshit going on. Not just finding masks on the ground and wearing them. Not just like the tons of crazy amounts of money spent on lobbying, but also these fucking ridiculous billionaires. Bernie Sanders was saying, calling out some real shit, more real shit this time. Although he's not wrong that pharmaceuticals are way overpriced and these insurance companies are just letting it happen because unlike Canada, where it's all the government that has the insurance in their budget, they're fucking footing the bill to these private companies or signing a contract with a private company to do their government insurance. Their Obamacares or whatever it is. So it's good that they're giving people access to healthcare, but at what cost? What about the people that don't apply for Obamacare or can't afford their fucking insurance premiums or deductibles, like, or whatever they get is below the deductible? That shit's fucking nuts. Oh, orange Fanta. So yeah, I definitely agree pharmaceuticals should change in price, but it's funny that it didn't become an issue until they couldn't come into Canada to buy their insulin here. But yeah, pretty nuts that whole thing went down. Bernie Sanders didn't mention tech at all that I know of. He was after Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk. So I don't know if you want to call Tesla and SpaceX tech. I'd call it hardware. I guess somewhat in the tech space. Maybe you can call Amazon tech, but they're also just fucking a scam artist monopoly thing that does insane price fixing. In order to drive other businesses out of power because they won't purchase it. And Bezos also owns the Washington Post, so he has his own propaganda arm even. It's no wonder Amazon workers are finally building a union, but you don't hear people complaining at other organizations and getting pushed to the brink of starting unions, but it'd be awesome if people that work for Amazon could actually get paid what they're worth. Back to COVID here in GTA, Brampton's had some of the, and where we used to live about Milton Bradford area, Halton Hills area and Brampton. They had really bad COVID outbreaks, mostly due to the Amazon warehouses, among some other things, but Amazon warehouses were some of the biggest places. So terrible working conditions, terrible wages. They just destroy people through and through. And the other factor to that is Elon Musk. Like, he's just fucking like all the rest of these Bitcoin hucksters, fucking shoysters, so to speak, where he was pumping Tesla hard. That was working great. At the same time, switched all of the money he could over into Bitcoin, and then started pumping Bitcoin as hard as he could. So, well, that kind of got him rich again. But the funny thing is, these guys have no actual money. They just have money on paper. That doesn't stop Bernie Sanders from attacking them. Fuck, I'm trying to scroll up, but this fucking iPhone's not loading. Bernie Sanders calls out Elon and Bezos over wealth inequality. Specifically during a speech, he said between the two of them, they have more than wealth in the bottom 40%.
This morning, some will be here, some will be virtual. And I also want to thank the many witnesses who will be with us today remotely because of the pandemic. Far too little discussion. And that is the crisis of income and wealth inequality in our country. The simple truth is that today in America, the very, very rich are getting much richer, while tens of millions of working class Americans are struggling to put food on the table and take care of their basic needs. This morning, we are going to learn why it is that the middle class in our country wants the envy of the world. The whole world looked to the United States and saw a growing and strong middle class, but why it is that great middle class has been in decline for decade after decade after decade, while at the same time, there has been a massive transfer of wealth from working families to the top 1%, an issue that needs to be discussed.
Trickle down economics, don't worry about it, Bernie.
We're going to be talking about why it is that during this horrific pandemic, 63% of our workers have been living paycheck to paycheck, worried that if somebody in the family gets sick or the car breaks down, they will be thrown into financial desperation because they don't have the money to pay those bills. Meanwhile, same exact time, 660 billionaires, richest people in America, have become $1.3 trillion richer. So during the pandemic, millions of people are struggling, put food on the table, handful of billionaires are becoming much richer. We're going to talk about the obscenity of the 50 wealthiest Americans now owning more wealth than the bottom half of our society. 50 people, half of our people, 160 million people.
I think that's an underestimation.
While at the same time, over 90 million Americans are uninsured, have no health insurance, or are underinsured, can't afford to go to a doctor when they get sick. Is that the America that we want? I don't think so. We'll be asking about how it happens that the top 0.1% now owns more wealth than the bottom 90%. 0.1%, more wealth than the bottom 90%. And two individuals,
our boys,
Bezos and Musk, now own more wealth than the bottom 40%. Meanwhile, we're looking at more hunger in America than at any time in decades. Incredibly, income inequality has remained the same as it was in 1975.
Wow. It's not a shock at all to me. Like, if you've been following the pod, this is what we say to you week in and week out. We're Bernie bros to the core, unfortunately, and it hurts. It hurts to hear him articulate our message so loud and clear. Like, we got to watch out for these motherfucking billionaires scamming us. These companies fucking taking everything we love and patenting it so we can no longer fucking use it. Soon enough, they're going to have the fucking patent police come in and, oh, nope, you can't, you're leaning back on your couch? No, sorry, Cineplex owns that patent, so you're not allowed to lean that hard. That's going to cost you $37 an hour, or whatever the fuck they're charging for movies these days. But yeah, it's just sad. There's not more politicians like our bro Bernie. Or are we the bros? I don't know. You decide. But the other problem that doesn't help these things is that boomers be consuming and hoarding like mad. So I watched this crazy video. It was an interesting lecture from an economist. I know economists are fucking retards. They don't really understand reality, unfortunately. They might be good at crunching numbers, but a lot of them are Republicans, so they also could care less about the welfare, and they're more just like, you know, trying to do the economics, trying to make sure the economics are straight. The utility to value ratio. If something doesn't have the proper utility, then why is there any value in it? And we've completely thrown that out the window throughout the year. So I don't understand what economists are doing anymore, but this guy was at least sticking to the old school economist ways, at least as far as I could tell. So basically what he was saying was that there literally was you would think the best time to be born would be in a like smaller segment of people, because then you could get more attention, more care. There'd be equal amounts of stuff to divide among less people is basically his argument. But it's actually proven to be the opposite. And if you're part of the baby boomer generation, the biggest generation in the Western world, people born between 1945 and 1965, so post-World War II, this guy was saying they have benefited immensely from being in that largest class of people. One of the main reasons being they can band together when it comes to voting, and that way they control the power of politics. Whether or not they choose to is beyond you, me, but I think it's pretty obvious who all voted for Trump. It wasn't fucking those young ass Gen Z or liberals. It was fucking dudes and who weren't Bernie Bros, and or who were Bernie Bros and were pissed off that the fucking DNC ripped him off. So they're like, yeah, fuck the DNC. I'm voting red. I'm seeing red right now. Bernie's independent, so I can choose who I vote for. So yeah, they were either trying to get back at the DNC for dogging them, so to speak, or they were actually interested in conservative politics. Like that, which blows my mind, but it's understood easily. So what this guy was saying, that beyond the fact that there's been no point in time since where you could come out of high school and get a union job that paid you $30 an hour in 1980s, 1970s, 1960s, 1950s. And it got tougher as the years went on. So those people grew up in prosperity. They came out, they didn't have much competition buying houses because of all the fucking racism and shit that was going on then. And the banks didn't have control of all of us. So, and the marketing wasn't jammed down their throats because they hardly had televisions and it had one channel. So yeah, there wasn't this, they created this fucking consumer culture. But while that was going on, they might not have been the first people to have cars or the first people to have homes, but they were some of the first people to purchase brand new homes in mass. So they, which has really worked out for them in the long run. You would think the way it works, like property taxes would continually increase on people and in correlation with home values, but it hasn't quite worked out as good as it should have. And that's been extra tough on the rest of us. There's a whole lot of stuff that we're going to go deep on, or I guess this video goes pretty deep on here. So I'm going to give you guys 25 ways baby boomers have screwed over younger generations. So this guy's not the friggin' economist, because I don't want to bore you guys to death, but let me open this in YouTube and get you a good playback speed. A lot of these people are just trying to talk slow.
There's always been a generational divide. For whatever reason, older and younger generations just can't get along. It's a situation we find ourselves in today. Baby boomers label their younger counterparts as lazy, entitled, easily offended. And let's not forget about all the things millennials have ruined for society. Needless to say, baby boomers have been vocal when it comes to their disdain for the younger generations. Recently, we as young people have also started speaking up. After all, we find more than a few things that boomers got wrong. Today, we point the finger back at baby boomers and shed light on their mistakes. I'm Mike Lewis, 25, and these are 25 ways baby boomers screwed over younger generations. 25. Replacing entry-level jobs with internships. Back in the day, when baby boomers were first entering the workforce, it was easy to find an entry-level job with little to no experience in the field you were entering. These days, it's much harder. Gone are the days of getting a job in your field fresh out of high school. Now we have full-time unpaid internships. While boomers didn't create internships, the concept of working for experience didn't come about until the 80s, after boomers had taken control of the job market. Making it difficult to enter the workforce. These days, you're lucky if you can get a job without years of experience on the resume. But it wasn't always like this. Boomers were able to get jobs fresh out of high school and make enough money to support their families. The same doesn't go for younger generations. Most boomer employers want people with a degree and years of experience, something that younger generations just haven't had the chance to gain. 23. Not increasing wages. Boomers will be the first to tell you how much they made when they were your age, and that was enough. What boomers fail to understand is that the amount they made back then doesn't amount to the same in today's economy. Instead of increasing what's required to make a living wage, boomers seem to be content with the fact that younger generations often have to juggle multiple jobs just to scrape by. 22. They worked too much. Say what you will about baby boomers, but their work ethic is extreme. They often work long into the night, getting paid for overtime. They work so much that the number of hours we work has become a benchmark of success in American culture. Science has proven, however, that people are more productive and have better mental health when they work measured hours. Working less isn't something that's acceptable in a culture that boomers self-create. 21. Treating younger generations poorly. There's a lot of hostility between baby boomers and younger generations. That's no secret. While the hostility is one-sided, most younger generations' qualms with boomers come from a place of frustration about how the world is today. On the other hand, most of the complaints younger generations get from boomers is that we just don't do things the way they want us to. Marital and family issues. Baby boomers got married and started families at a young age. This has caused an increase in divorce rates. Most people in the older generation are willing to give up on marriage rather than making it work. This has caused issues for many young people regarding their idea of settling down and having a family. 19. They don't realize how lucky they were. Baby boomers grew up in the most financially stable time in American history. The economy prospered, and it was easier than ever to be successful. Because of this, many boomers don't understand why younger generations struggle so much. They just don't realize how lucky they were to be born at a time when it was so easy to achieve your life goals. 18. Taking too much money from Social Security. The term baby boomers comes from the fact that during the 40s, there was a massive increase in the birth rate. With baby boomers comes an extended life expectancy. These factors have had a massive effect on the nation's Social Security reserves. Although it's not expected that Social Security will run out completely in the future, it is expected that the older generations will be getting far less money than baby boomers get today. It's been proposed that the age at which a person is eligible for Social Security should be raised to 70 rather than 65 to combat this, but boomers have been 17.
So yeah, further to that one, that doesn't just go for social welfare and the government pension. That goes for regular pensions. So people used to get these things called defined benefit pensions, where they were told how much they were going to get paid out in perpetuity. So until they died, as long as they retired at a certain ages. So if you retire at 55, you get $500 a month. If you retire at 60, you get $700 a month. If you retire at 65, you get $900 a month. If you retire at 70, you get $1,200 a month. Probably also had some sort of increase with inflation, but basically now the pensions can't keep up with those payouts. So they've got to find ways to manipulate the markets, pass the buck. And it's a Ponzi scheme. We are all paying into it so they can pay out to the boomers in a lot of these fucking cases. So not just with the Ponzi scheme that's fucking old age security, supposedly, but supposedly it's pensions too. That's what this economist said. This guy might have even watched the same video I did, or a few different ones. But also one or two of his things in here is he's just trying to get to 25. He should have done 20.
In the house market. During the 60s all the way through the 90s, there was a massive housing boom in America. Millions of houses were built, and it was relatively cheap to purchase one. Because of the strict regulations that were made during the time, the same can't be said about today's housing market. It's become harder to build new houses, and because boomers are looking to sell large houses that were made decades ago, it's nearly impossible for younger generations to afford to live on their own. 16. Having useful education. Many baby boomers complain the younger generations don't have the skills to function in real life, and they're right. What they don't realize is that this is their own fault. Boomer politicians have cut so much funding to classes like home economics, woodshop, and finances in exchange for rigorous test programs. Now schools only care about how a student does on their yearly tests rather than if they can balance the checkbook. They cut taxes
or trades.
While the majority of baby boomers are in the middle class, they also make up the majority of the 1%. Boomers that have amassed this wealth wish to keep as much of it as possible and vote to cut taxes on the rich and increase taxes on the poor. 14. They're taking most of the jobs. Although there are many baby boomers that have retired, a great deal of them are still working. With many employers wanting more work experience and companies cutting down on how many jobs they provide, it makes it difficult for younger people to find good jobs.
13. You repeated that one.
It's true that younger generations tend to lean towards more liberal and progressive political views. Baby boomers, on the other hand, traditionally believe in more conservative values. Due to the fact that there are so many more baby boomers than there are younger voters, they tend to be able to block progressive laws that younger voters vote for. 12. Causing a recession in the UK. When Brexit was proposed to people in England, it was the older generation that decided it would be a good idea to leave the European Union with no plan as to how that would work. Now England finds itself in one of the worst recessions, and older voters are the cause of it.
11.
Discrimination. It's a product of the bygone era, but many baby boomers still hold on to days when it was okay to discriminate against people based on gender, race, and sexual preference. It's important to realize that many boomers have shut off these ideals now that the world is more open-minded, but there is still a lot of work to be done. Creating trickle-down economics.
What about Joe?
As stated previously, baby boomers in charge of the country in the 80s cut taxes for the rich. The reason behind this decision was founded on the idea of trickle-down economics. The idea is that if you cut taxes on companies and the rich, they'll use that extra money to invest in small businesses and it'll help the economy grow. Instead, it's allowed boomers that are rich or in control of corporations to keep all of their money and buy out smaller companies for themselves. 9. Leaving them with massive debts. The government under boomer leadership has borrowed trillions of dollars from foreign powers. Instead of trying to pay off, boomers in charge are more than content to let us younger people deal with the massive debts they collected over the last few decades. Thanks, old boomers. 8. Making college cost too much. Most baby boomers were able to get college for a fairly cheap price back when they were in their 20s. But as the years went by, the price of college rose exponentially. This is in large part due to the fact that people operating colleges now, boomers, have raised the price so much. Not only that, but the generation also controls how much money and grants give to low-income students, making it harder than ever for a low-income student to go to school without ending up in debt. 7. Wanting to keep student loan debt. There is a student loan debt crisis in the U.S. currently. 2 out of every 10 adults have student loan debt that they won't be able to pay off in their lifetime. The idea of abolishing student loan debt for future generations has been a talk of the political world as of late. Most baby boomers have said that it is fair that they should have to pay for their student loans and younger generations should. 6. Expecting too much of younger generations. When baby boomers were our age, it was common to graduate from high school or college, find a job, get married, buy a house, and start a family. These days, it's not only harder for younger generations to afford these things, but it's also not what all of them want. Because this is not a mentality that boomers grew up with, they're prone to calling young folks lazy. Idle. Just check out the comment section for why people shouldn't have kids. Holy crap. 5. Lacking mental health awareness. We have come a long way in terms of awareness of mental health issues, something that wasn't afforded to baby boomers when they were growing up. An intergenerational study by Group UK showed that baby boomers were the most likely age group to delay or avoid seeking medical help for symptoms associated with mental health, even though many of them deal with it. In fact, many of them ignore these symptoms altogether simply because they don't consider mental health a serious issue. It not only makes younger generations feel like their problems don't matter, but it also leaves many older people dealing with these issues on their own. Seek help, boomer.
I told my grandfather I was going to therapy. He told me that will help you with Barclays.
What does that even mean?
I don't know.
How many Barclays are you getting in?
I don't know. I don't know why my grandfather wants me in Barclays.
So the next time you're feeling depressed, just go to your bar and hit someone with a bottle.
True.
I mean, that sounds like a good plan.
It used to be normal to get food from local stores. With the rise of supermarkets in the 60s and 70s, however, local produce and local stores became rare in modern society. With the increase in popularity of cheap and affordable food from supermarkets came the decrease in regulations on food companies. Ever since, food has been packed with chemicals to help preserve that. It's not exactly what we call a healthy way to eat. 3.
Can't
being out of touch.
Actually.
Let's face it. It's hard to watch the world change around you and no longer understand it. Unfortunately, a lot of baby boomers find themselves in that situation. The only problem is that many baby boomers refuse to accept this fact. They're stuck in their old ways and become confused or angry when they don't understand why something isn't the way it used to be. Harder for immigrants. Conservative baby boomers have had a history of wanting stricter immigration laws. Lately, they passed laws that make life harder for immigrants already here and for immigrants trying to come into the country. 1. The environment. It's no secret that climate change has been a growing issue in the past few decades. It would make sense that the ruling generation would acknowledge this.
So the reason I play that one, it's the other video is like 42 minutes long, and he covers the points that are in the video and then some. Basically, like, these guys had it so motherfucking good, and they set the rules and they change the rules how it pleases them. So the only way to be successful is to be lucky enough to have one of them rich boomer families that can actually give you some coin. And if you want to learn more about how fucking we have become the mental health fucking crises of the boomers, watch Rugrats. There was this super good video I came across on YouTube that just basically compared like how the Rugrats parents treated their kids, and the Rugrats parents were boomers because the show came out in 90s. The parents were about 25 plus years old. 65 plus 25 equals 90. So that's basically what it was, a reflection of how boomers are raising the children and how the children were actually often better off without their parents' intervention. They actually were able to be more independent and grow their imaginations when they were off playing together alone in the backyard. They were also able to team up and take on Angelica instead of be stuck in the pen where she hold them down. But a lot of this, it also shows a lot of these fucking morals and values are passed on from their grandparents who grew up during the Depression. So that's where they've become hoarders. So that they become hoarders, they become consumers, they hoard their houses, they buy brand new cars, they fucking don't want to pay tax because they buy so much fucking shit, and they work so hard for making money, and they need all this money now, so they fucking create these Ponzi schemes for us to fucking pay for their retirement. And they're probably at the same time telling you, oh yeah, it's gonna be so great to have someone who I can move in with when I'm older, or whatever the fuck line they're trying to feed you to get into your home. That, like, maybe they gave you the down payment, so you feel obligated. Like, and I don't know. Like, what I don't know is that, like, are things going to just keep rising and inflation still stay, I mean, wages still stay stagnant? Like, like he said in the video, they worked extra hours to get overtime. I don't know anyone that gets paid overtime nowadays. Everyone's getting paid salary, and these fucking business owners are making up, these boomer business owners are making off with all the profits. So if you're cool with that, no, hey, that's cool. That's cool. If you're not cool with that, we appreciate you sticking around and supporting the motherfucking Rap Drugs pod. But I do have one more thing. I'm sure, like I was saying earlier, I might have more than just one more thing, but the one thing I was saying earlier was that NYC legalized marijuana. But you guys might not know, Andrew Yang actually urges the legalization of psilocybin and marijuana at New York City Mayoral Forum on March 20th. So like a month ahead of 420. You're a little early, brother, but we appreciate the sentiment. So yeah, with that, let me just see here. Sorry, wrong form. I don't see any news behind this. But yeah, let's check out the comments quick though. Decrim CA post this. We need to decrim and destigmatize, not necessarily legalize. I appreciate that. The legalization in Canada for cannabis has been a nightmare. You can't find quads anywhere. Nothing's that gas. Nothing stanks when you crack open the seal, unless you want to pay 15 to 20 bucks a G. Meanwhile, like, I was buying fucking ounces for like under 200 bucks. That was easily quads. And I was like over a dozen years ago now, I was probably spending $1,000, $1,100 on a quarter pound of quads, and people would pay like 11, 12 a G. So I was definitely giving better deals than these fucking LPs were. And I was probably getting fucking middleman like crazy. Like, it was probably going from a grower to a next guy to a next guy to me, and then to the end user. Whereas like these fucking growers, yeah, they've got some overhead costs, but support local, man. I do think there's a lot of cool craft companies out there. I haven't had the chance to try Cypress Craft or some of the other ones out west myself, but from what I've seen on IG, damn, their shit looks good. So yeah, I'm pumped that NYC's got marijuana legalized, and seems like psilocybin might not be too far behind it. But again, yeah, I agree that I think it should be pushed along, and if anything, just decriminalize, leave it in the fucking stoner's hands, leave it in our hands, so we can do this shit right for you. We'll let you lemon tech, we'll teach you how to let it go down easy, so you don't have to just get the pills or get the edibles, whatever lame ass shit all you boomers can handle, 10 milligram edibles or whatever the fuck. We'll show you the way. Just like Eddie Bravo showed the boy Joe Rogan the way. So I'm sure a lot of y'all heard Joe Rogan whenever someone says, oh, I haven't blazed before, da da da, he says, oh, just take a Just take one puff. All you probably need is one, maybe two puffs. Inhale it and hold it in as long as you can. And you're going to be stoned to the bone. You can decide if you want to take another puff later, but you can't unsmoke the weed you smoke. So start with one puff. Give yourself a few minutes. If you feel good, take a second puff. If you think you would enjoy double the feeling. And then feel it out. If you think you'd enjoy that feeling, take two more puffs. If you think you'd enjoy double that feeling. So, you know, it's go low, go slow. And eventually you'll end up high as shit anyways. But I think a lot of people don't realize, like, Eddie Bravo didn't just gift fucking 10th Planet Jiu-Jitsu to the world. He did a lot more. He fucking gifted the Joe Rogan we know and love to the world. So Eddie Bravo and Joe Rogan used to roll together, do jiu-jitsu together at John Jock Machado Jiu-Jitsu School in, fuck, I forget where it is, somewhere in California. But yeah, this story was in the Combat Jiu-Jitsu Worlds. That's for free on YouTube if you want to check it out. Your MMA's too hardcore for you, but you want to see some guys roll around, maybe try some chokes on each other, some friendly grappling and a couple slaps in there. Like, the grappling's too slow for you, so you want to get some slaps in there. No punches, no kicks, no slams. That I really highly recommend the Combat Jiu-Jitsu. And if you love MMA, you're in between fucking shows. Bellator coming up on Good Friday. Can't wait for that to be back. But yeah, you're in between shows. Turn on some Combat Jiu-Jitsu. World's Tourney, or watch like one match at a time. It's pretty cool shit. Pretty really high level shit too. All black belt, a lot of 10th Planet guys coming through the Eddie Bravo system. Eddie Bravo set this up. I forget who helped him get it all through the regulators and stuff, and basically get sanctioned the same way amateur MMA is. And just fucking great dude. He's also got the EBI, the Eddie Bravo Invitational, that's on UFC Fight Pass. Same rules that Submission Underground's been kind of tapped into. And similar to the same rules that Combat Jiu-Jitsu uses, where instead of going to the judges after when the time's up, or having a point system in place, they have an overtime. So if you guys can end up rolling together till the time limit's up, you flip a coin and one guy gets to choose whether he goes first or second. The other guy gets to choose if he starts with the arm or starts with the back. And then you got to try and escape quicker than the other guys. So either you get a submission and then the other guy has to get a submission in that amount of time or less. Gets a redemption chance. Or you escape and then the other guy has that much time to escape. And sometimes you do up to three overtime. Sometimes you just do the one. But it's really, really interesting shit. Really cool. It's kind of like how hockey switched from you can have a tie to now there's a shootout. There's sudden death shootout. Except imagine in hockey, instead of a tie, they went to judges who were like, oh yeah, that team played better. They got more shots, whatever the fucking less penalty minutes, more penalty minutes. They won the fights or whatever the fuck the judges would come up with. So even a tie would have been better than the fucking way they've got it, where it's up to the judges or some points. Is like how MMA is. I think MMA should have some overtimes. Like that would get pretty interesting, pretty wild. But I don't know how they'd figure that out. But anyways, so Eddie Bravo got to know Joe Rogan doing jiu-jitsu at John Jock Machado's jiu-jitsu school there in Cali, where they first met. Really cool story. I'm going to spoil it for you. But basically, Joe was against. So yeah, if you don't want to hear, you want to watch it on the Combat Jiu-Jitsu's, skip ahead like 10 minutes. But basically, or maybe just like a few minutes. But yeah, basically, Eddie and Joe used to roll together. When Eddie first met Joe, he didn't burn at all. So slowly Eddie was incepting him. One day when they're driving together, Joe Rogan's just like, I want to get high, man. They pull over to the side of the road, smoke a little, because you know how Cali is. You're like basically pulled over when you're sitting in traffic anyways. Smoke a little and get stoned to the bone. And then Eddie goes on this rant also about how you need to know more about Jack Herer and the Emperor Wears No Clothes, and how the hemp processing machine, the decoordinator, was going to change the world because it was going to allow so much more uses for hemp. And Henry Anslinger wanted none of that. Basically, paper and pulp mill lobbyists all decided, fuck, we can't let hemp do and stuff. So Henry Anslinger was the first drug czar and invented the name marijuana for cannabis. So that's why with legalization, we've gone back to the word cannabis instead of using the word marijuana, for all you folks who didn't know. That's thanks to Jack Herer. Thanks for Eddie Bravo for educating me. And yeah, there was lots and lots of crazy marijuana propaganda, like Reefer Madness and regular newspaper articles, kind of like the propaganda you see in the news today about coronavirus. Like, it's dangerous, but only to boomers and older. So is it really that dangerous? It's probably not even that dangerous to boomers. 1945, carry the one. Even those people, they're 76 years old. So people over 80 got to get the vaccine first. But yeah, I would argue that if you were over the age of 56, then I guess you want to be first in line for the vaccine or whatever. So you want to make sure you don't die in the meantime. But I really do think it's fucking ridiculous without a black fit. But yeah, I'll leave the rest up to you guys to if you do want to watch it. But yeah, terrible joke I've got here. Woody Allen is just a pickup artist. Episode one, he got with Maya to nag Soon Yi and was only grooming Dylan as a plan B. That's in bad taste. I was really high when I wrote that down, but what a mess. What a mess that thing is. Go watch the Woody Allen doc if you haven't, and you want something to do. That's a good one. But yeah, we're gonna cover some no-knock raids in the next episode and how they're getting rid of that. I think that's gonna be a really good episode. So you want to tune in next week for that shit. But you know what? I also have an invention too. So I don't know. Should I save it for the next? No. If you guys tuned in and you listened this long, you deserve to hear my invention. So my plan is. My plan for the invention, it's going to be sick. It's a reverse segue. And what that means is like basically, imagine if you could just lay in bed all day, but also get shit done. So like you probably are going to have to like have this thing slide up beside your bed. So it might be you squeezing in.
Getting rid of that.
And so basically, yeah, as long as this bed fits through doors, the plan's going to be legit. Maybe you need one of those fucking chairs we were talking about last episode with Biden tripping, you know, the one you can hop on and ride up and down the stairs with. So yeah, if you have that, you get in the chair, you ride up and down the stairs. Maybe you need a couple beds in your home, or maybe we need to find a way that this bed reverse segue can climb the stairs and go down the stairs. Or we all got to move to bungalows, one or ranches, one floor homes. So, but yeah, it would be sick if the bed could just tilt all the way up. You fucking zoom around the home, fucking you get to watch TV, you just tilt the bed like this, you're sitting up watching the TV, and never mind, I need to go do fucking chores. You know, you go do the laundry, throw the laundry in, go lay back down, take a quick snooze because you just worked your buns off, and then back to work. Oh, I've got to go chop up some vegetables for dinner. So you go, you know, you ride your fucking bed up back up the stairs. Maybe you want to lay down while it's going up and downstairs. If like, that would probably get me sick. I want to kind of see ahead. So anyways, you go up and down the stairs. You can pull this thing right up to the counter because the bed's behind you. It's a reverse segue, so you don't got that stupid fucking handlebars in the way. You just ride her up the counter, and then you're just chopping your vegetables. So you know how most of us lazy folks chop the vegetables. You just, you know, you get an onion out, you fucking hack at it a little bit so the skin breaks up. You cut the ends off. And then depending on the size of your food processor, you cut it into like one or two ways, and then you can just crush it all in the food processor and grind it up like a motherfucker. So once you do that, you're going to be set. Just get one, like, forget scooters. We need reverse segways with a bed attachment. Get on this segway. Otherwise, I'm going to be the first guy to market. I'm going to patent it. And then, you're going to wish you were me. I'm probably going to sue you guys, actually, and be like, these guys stole my idea, came up with it earlier, except they didn't have all the fucking know-how and wherewithal to make the handlebars behind you and have a nice foam padded back. Like, imagine a gaming chair where the bottom just like folds down and you can like zip right up to somebody. Oh yeah, we need to put some armrests on it. Maybe the armrests fold up and down on the reverse segue. What can we call it? The way gaze? Is that yeah gaze? That's what a segue is backwards, right? Yeah, gaze. YAWGES. Yeah, gaze. So get your yeah gaze, or get your money ready for your yeah gaze. You know, sell off your GameStop fucking stocks, your Bitcoins. It's all going to be worthless soon anyways. If you've been paying attention to the block trading market, basically these billionaires have ran out of each other to sell massive amounts of shares to. But at the same time, the governments are still scared of a collapse. So they're throwing all the money they can into the fucking bond market, which is only making interest rates on treasury yields go up, which means eventually the banks are going to have to increase their interest rates. Because people, like, they'll stop getting funding that way or using their money that way and put their money into these treasury bills and other shit that's guaranteed fixed income. So it's kind of like a really, really, really interesting financial times. I'm hoping for the best, but I've also read some bad shit about how loan levels have increased with housing prices. So should I cover that before I go? Let me see here. Yeah, I got the article in front of me. I'll just go into it quickly. This is 8 minutes, so I don't want to play this whole guy's thing. So yeah, Bank of Canada is seeing some worrying signs that some Canadians are taking on too much debt to buy into the nation's hot housing markets. There's evidence that loan levels relative to home values are growing, which is an indication that some borrowers could be overextending. And also a huge issue because Canada is one of the biggest debt to income ratios. He also warned people have begun to make purchases based on the belief prices will continue rising. Canadians are stretching, and that is worrying. If Canadians are basing their decisions on the kind of price increases that we've seen recently are going to continue indefinitely, that would be a mistake. They're not sustainable. And they're directly inverse of the interest rates getting cut in half during COVID. Or maybe not quite half, but they've went down from like 2.5% to 1.3% for some buyers, which is insane, insanity. That is half the interest. So that is like, if you bought $1 million home and, or whatever amount size of home, if you were paying $2,000 a month in interest before, now you're paying $1,000 a month in interest. So of course you can buy more home. And of course, if you don't understand money, like 99% of people don't, because the fucking boomers took that out of the school system or never put it in the first place. And now it's a fucking elective in grade fucking 11 or 12 to learn accounting or learn finance, or fucking you have to be in everyday studies to learn how to use, to like budget and do proper math instead of fucking data science. Don't even get me started on that bullshit. But anyways, so a lot of people don't understand what they're getting themselves into. They think the prices are going to continue to rise, so they keep getting loans that are bigger than what they can afford, or just what they can afford in order to pay to play, basically. So Malcolm indicated the central bank can do little given interest rates need to stay low to support the recovery. His comments come amid increasingly urgent calls from economists for policymakers to cool the market. Over the past week, the bank, like, raising the interest rates would cool the market. But no, we can't do that. Then we'd have to pay more, and we fucked up because we're boomers. Over the past week, the Bank of Montreal's Robert Kavik and Robert Hogue at the Royal Bank of Canada have issued reports warning officials they need to take steps to break the psychology of expecting continued gains in real estate. The ultimate concern is that rapid price appreciation could be destabilizing. Among policies being suggested are taxes targeting speculators, like the one implemented in New Zealand this month, which would be amazing. I wish they would do more to fucking tax people that aren't living in their homes, these fucking filthy animals that are preventing the rest of us from owning homes. But I also do like landlords who can take on all the fucking ridiculous costs of homeownership, so you don't got to pay someone in the trades like Todd to get kidnapped or do your plumbing or whatever. They could also end a longstanding and popular tax exemption for capital gains on primary residences. So again, screwing over everyone that isn't baby boomers, who hasn't had this capital gains tax for so long. But at the same time, like, if they cancel student loans and do this, get rid of capital gains, if they do that together, I'm all in. Eye for an eye. Another idea getting attention is the elimination of blind bidding for homes that some analysts say unnecessarily inflates prices, which is so true. But the real estate lobbyists and the politicians that own all the real estate, they don't want that happening. Both Kavik and Hogue also identify a lack of housing supply as a major driver of the recent run-up in home values, which doesn't make any sense to me, because Canada has one of the like largest percentages of GDP that comes out of like new home construction and development. So that's kind of confusing, unless we're back on track to this immigration numbers we were before. But Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's government plans to introduce a tax on foreign non-resident homeowners. Would be greatly appreciated if he could help us out here, because he's not helping out the Uyghur Muslims or even speaking up for them. And Finance Minister Chrystia Freeland said last week she is watching the market closely without detailing any specific intent to take additional action. Last week, Canada's National Housing Agency added three more cities to its list of markets, including markets highly vulnerable to a sharp price drop, including Toronto. CMHC also said the recent broad-based price appreciation means overheating risks are now a national phenomenon rather than isolated to a few major metro areas. So yeah, good on you guys if you planned ahead when you were looking to get a home, or if you had a fat stack of equity from some boomer, like, take advantage of it. Just be careful, they're going to want to live in your home later when they sell theirs. So fill it up with kids or renters or some shit in the meantime, so you don't get tricked into that whole Ponzi scheme. Fucking man, what a fucking joke that is. But I think there was one more thing I wanted to cover before I let you guys go. Slave labor. That's it. So yeah, just to hook you guys up, help you guys out, because I know it's a lot of doom and gloom and we don't have any real action for a lot of the shit we say. But there is some real action here. A lot of shit we say and Bernie says. Like, what are you going to do about fucking billionaires billionaireing? Like, they're going to fucking manipulate the financial markets all they can. And we just got to hope that we invent the next Tesla or Amazon or what. The CIA fucking contracts us to fucking create all the vaccines in the world, or like they do for Bill Gates, or shoot rockets into space or just blow up rockets like they do for fucking Elon Musk. So we can only hope, or Amazon Web Services and all their billion-dollar CIA contracts. So yeah, we can only hope for some fucking crazy payday like that. If you need referral codes for JJ Meds, need some mushrooms, hit us up, email or text. And here is the, what is it? How many companies is it? My bad, guys. 83 major brands. So you might have heard a couple of them in the headlines. Big ones were H&M and Gap, but the ASPI reached out to 83 brands to confirm their relevant supplier details. Abercrombie & Fitch, Adidas, Amazon, BMW, Gap, H&M, Inditex, Marks & Spencer, Nike, North Face, Puma, PVH, Samsung, and Uniqlo to respond. Also invited Apple, Espirit, and Fila. L Brands, which is Les Wexner's group of companies, like Victoria's Secret and that shit. Bed Bath & Beyond or Bed Bath & Body Works or whatever the fuck it is. That dumb shit. So they all did it. So yeah. There was also SEDEX, Social Accountability International, ERM, Ryoko Kuku Co. Limited, Philips Van Housen is PVH. Did I say Samsung already? But yeah, there's a ton of company responses in this business-humanrights.org. But yeah, Uyghurs for sale, re-education, forced labor, and surveillance beyond Xinjiang. So basically, don't be surprised that Amazon's doing the same thing to Uyghur Muslims that they do here. And a lot of other companies, they can just do it to only Uyghur Muslims, and because they've also got a bunch of other, like, I wouldn't be surprised if the same thing goes on in a bunch of other countries. It's just not as big of a scale, so they don't talk about it as much. Like, I'm sure there's plenty of genocide in other parts of Asia and Africa, and maybe even still in Germany. Who knows? Probably here in Canada even. I know there's fucking this system they've set up with the farm workers who can't become permanent residents and are immigrated in, human trafficked in, don't have any of the rights and freedoms as us, but they're given COVID and forced to live in fucking military style fucking quarters. So what's the difference? Like, and is that the lack of inflation that we're expecting? Like, if we wanted to live like boomers did way back in the day, we'd have to have pay way, way more for stuff to have clean supply chains. Like, I, for one, I want to see taxes and tariffs on these countries that allow this stuff to happen. Like, I honestly think the buck stops here. And if they take those taxes and tariffs, they can fund their UBI programs to help these people that aren't making enough money make more money. Or same way, if they actually just tax the corporations, they could cut the tax rates on people so the take-home incomes are higher. Like, there's lots of ways they could fucking fix this and increase prices at the same time. Like, if they fix it by increasing prices, they just cut taxes. They're gonna, because the increase in prices is going to be through taxes and tariffs, and then you're going to have companies that want to avoid the taxes and tariffs, and they're going to do things right here. And then you're going to be able to do make work projects with CRA to make sure they pay their wages properly. Like, all this fucking I'm anti-pro business. All this pro business government shit is just bad for business. And I can't believe you fucking boomers keep voting it in. But if you didn't, like, and let's be honest though, the liberals are going to be pro-business too, just for other businesses. That's why I try to vote like Green Party or NDP, depending on how I feel. but I did vote liberal for the legalized weed, and I've regretted it every day ever since. You can't take cold enough showers to forget that stuff. Voted Green Party in the last federal election, though, so I did my thing, you know, voting for a woman, equality for all. She was probably one of the most qualified candidates. Clearly, Justin Trudeau isn't, can't even speak up against the Uyghur Muslims unless I guess he's dressed as one, like he did with his black and brown face back in the day when he was a teacher. You know how teachers be. Some of the, I'm not knocking all you teachers. Some are good and actually care about the students, but most of you are just some fucking jerks who want to have fucking 2 months off in the summer and March break and Christmas off and work 30-hour weeks. But the ones that actually care and are passionate, like we as a people really appreciate you. Todd sent me a message from being kidnapped to say he appreciates the teachers, that we're good, and hates the fucking bitch fuckers. You know who you are. But yeah, we really appreciate y'all tuning in to the motherfucking Rap Drugs Pod for another week. We're going to try to get back to Sundays, but who knows what's going to happen next. Wearing a mask you found on the ground, that was fun. Boomers, they're still consuming and hoarding like mad, so better to just focus on the minimalism and let them have it. Maybe put all your money into Bitcoin, so when their currencies inflate like crazy, you're fine. And let's hope Bernie Sanders keeps fucking slamming these motherfuckers and people keep listening. Because even if the DNC isn't going to let him in as their main candidate, they got Sleepy Joe in somehow. He's still got a voice now. And all he's got to do is convince enough Democrats to vote with him. If he speaks loud enough, the Democrats are going to get themselves voted out. So that's going to be the Democrats that are actually pro-business are going to get themselves voted out. So yeah, watch some more Eddie Bravo shit. Also check out that Combat Jiu-Jitsu Worlds. Meet us in NYC to smoke dope whenever that gets legalized, maybe this 420 even. I think they're trying to plan for that. And let's get the damn reverse segue going. Send some money to paypal.me/rapdrugs. Buy some merch, teespring.com/store/rapdrugs. Sorry, that's paypal.me/rapdrugspod. paypal.me/rapdrugspod. It's all in the show notes below or on your favorite podcast player. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/rapdrugspod. Follow us on Instagram, instagram.com/rapdrugspod. We're coming back to IGTV soon, just lying low while, you know, Facebook lobbies hard to regulate themselves. They're keeping us out. And yeah, listen to us on Spotify if you like that one. But even if you do and you got an Apple phone or device, go throw a 5-star on Apple Pods. We really appreciate it. And we really appreciate y'all for tuning in each week, every week. Maybe we'll be back on Sunday. If not, another night of the week, we'll be coming to you. I'm pretty sure we'll get enough funds after this episode to let Todd free. But one way or another, we'll make it happen. Show me the motherfucking money. I'm John Jones, bitch. Show me the motherfucking money.